do this morning in our worship time, and then I really felt to pray out in tongues, and then the interpretation that came as I was praying, and it was very much that God was saying to us, I want you to give me your whole heart. Well, we've heard that before. I want you to give me your body, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, who you are. He basically wants us. I want you to give me your spirit. And the Lord was saying, as we give him ourselves, he will give us himself. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you have a locked room in your house and you can't get into it, that's one area of your house that is inaccessible. And you know, sometimes we can be like that in our hearts towards God. You know, God has shocked me sometimes and showed me an area that I thought was his and it wasn't, it was mine. I've had times when God has really kind of convicted me that it was something I needed to repent of, which I was kind of ignorant about. And so sometimes the Lord shows us things that we know that we have to deal with and we're just not dealing with it. And sometimes he shows us things that we're just unaware about in our own hearts. That's the depth of our hearts, isn't it? That's why we need the Lord's presence to come. Because when the Lord's presence comes, it's like a bright light that shines inside of us and shows us things about ourselves that perhaps we didn't really want to see, perhaps we really didn't want to face up to. But if we'll be willing to do that, we'll allow the presence of God then to come and change us. And so it's all for our liberation, it's all for our victory, actually, that we allow God to come and do that. And that's what he was talking to us about this morning in that time of worship. And I pray that it'll stay with us today. And this Christmas period, this New Year period, that what God is beginning to do will stay in our hearts, because we're going to use these first numbers of a few weeks into January to really pray and seek him and let him do what he wants to do in all of us. Praise God. It can only be good. Just turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. I'm going to ask Leon and Liam if they'll help me this morning, because we're kind of going to act out a parable. Is that right? We'll do it together, okay? We'll do it together. So, Leon, would you like to come up to the front here? And Liam. See, it never pays to stay away from church on Sundays. Look at this, look. So, if you'd like to open those up, don't eat them yet, okay? If you'd like to open them up. And this is the parable of the... okay, so look. That was the offering, look. This is the parable of the... talents. We're going to talk about the parable of the talents. So if you'd like to go and give five to Mick here on the front row, give him five. Give him five. If you'd like to give Jade two, okay? Give her two. Now, you're not allowed to eat these, okay? I'll tell you when you can eat them. You're not allowed to eat them yet, okay? So has he got five, Liam? Okay. And has Jade got two? Okay. If you'd like to... give the rest to give the rest to Giovanni for a minute. Give the rest to Giovanni just for a moment, okay? Give the rest to Giovanni. Are you good at reading? Do you want to have a go at reading? We're going to read this the parable, and it starts at verse 14, and it'll go down to verse 29.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went on and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me five talents. "Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many, many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Okay, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away."
Hey, yes, that's great. Brilliant. Very, very well read. That was brilliant. Excellent. Excellently done. Now, I need an actor this morning. Who's a good actor? Is he really? Jill, would you help me this morning? it's called brother and sister rivalry. Is there anyone else that would like to act this morning? Okay. Now, this is no reflection on Mark, okay? But Mark is going to be the 1 talent man, okay? But I need to. It needs to be a good actor. So, if you go and give Mark 1 talent, okay? Now, who's going to be? I need someone else here. Says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So, who's going to be the rich man? Okay, the guy that owns it all. Who's going to be that this morning? Jill, come on, Jill. Okay, so Jill, you have all of the. Jill, if you take the talents now. Okay, and what happens here? I want you to act now. Okay, you've got to do a little bit of acting. You've got 5. You've got 2. Now, who's going to have now the 1? We need to go and. Oh no, you'll do something with the 1 in a minute. So, to one he gave, this is the rich owner. To one he gave 5 talents. So, if you'd like to give 5 talents here, look, he's got so many talents. Look, he's all over the place. Look. Are you happy about your 5 talents? Okay. To another he gave 2. To Leon. And you've got yours, haven't you? And he gave 1 to Mark. And immediately he went on a journey. So you go on a journey. Then when he had received the 5 talents, the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So he went and he did some business over to Mick. Well, just stay over there for a minute. And through his business and being faithful with what he'd been given, his response was, "I can do it." And so he went and made 5 more talents. And That's it. So have you got them all? So how many have you got then? 10. So look really happy about it then. Jump up and down. And then it says, likewise, he who had received two talents, he gained two more. So if you like to go and do business with Jade. This is going to be very harsh. You've got to give them up. Look at that. Oh, you will be rewarded before the end of the meeting, Jade. And he received two more talents. But he who received the one, now watch this, went and dug in the ground. Anyone got a spade here this morning? Okay, you have to mime, mate. He went and dug. This is what he does at home, you know. This is what he does. He dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He hid it. Covered it up. Did he think it was going to grow or something? After a long time, the Lord of those servants, there he comes, look, the master, he came back and he wanted to settle accounts, wanted to see how they'd all done. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought his 5 other talents, that's all 10 of them, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 talents more besides them. And his Lord said to him,
well done, good and faithful student.
Servant. Well done, good and faithful student servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you, he says, ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There, and he gives you 10. And then he gives you this great big mansion. Gives you this great big mansion, this amazing mansion that he had. That's one of his 100 mansions here. He gives you one of his mansions. And he then puts you in charge of a whole load of more stuff that you wouldn't even have dreamed about. Okay? So give Liam a clap. Well done, Liam. And you can share some of those out, okay, to some rather good-looking people here this morning, all right, in a minute. And then what happened next was, he also had received 2 talents. He who had received 2 talents came and said, look, right, so you're going to talk to your master now, Leon. Look, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. So he'd got double. He'd literally doubled it all up for what he'd been given. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, so you first of all hand them over to him. That's it. Then he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Okay. Then he gives them back. And he says, I've got a mansion for you over there. Especially for you. And I'm going to put you in charge of a whole load of more stuff that belongs to me. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Go on, jump up and down. Like becoming a millionaire, okay? Like winning the pools, whatever. You've got everything you ever wanted, all right? And they were really happy. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you'd not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. So he was honest and said he'd hidden it. Look, there you have what is yours. Go and dig it up, Mark. Yeah, go and dig it up. And his Lord said to him, you wicked. You wicked. I say, and lazy servant, you. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You should have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, or you already have. It's already got that. And give it to him who had 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. The word abundance there. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And what we didn't read, I'm going to read you verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is where Mark changes it as a complete change around. Give him a round of applause. Okay. Yep. Thank you. Backslit. Okay. Hand him out. Hand him out. Okay. Hand him out. Yeah, just hand him out too. Mate, you can have a few extras yourselves for being such great actors this morning. Make sure Jade has two. Okay, Jade has two. We're talking this morning about response. Grace to respond. You know, slow obedience is called disobedience. Slow obedience is disobedience. I mean, it's great eventually to obey God. God is pleased that we do obey him eventually. But very often when God asks us to do things, we have this debate or this little argument that goes on in our head. No, I can't. No, I won't. I couldn't possibly. Not me, Lord. You've got the wrong one. And God is wanting us, as we come to the end of this 2009 into 2010, he's wanting us to be very quick to respond to his directions to us. Amen. And we're just going to have a quick whiz through the Bible, if that's all right. It will be a whiz. Do you know there's a Bulgarian airline called Wizz Air? And they're a great airline, actually. They're better than Ryanair. They're one of these cheap... Oh, sorry, Joyce. But they are. They're very good. They're very good. Anyway, let's move quickly to Genesis chapter 3. Moving on swiftly. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, yeah, chapter 3. God is wanting to release to us grace. That's his favor, his power, his ability to respond to him. That's what he was doing actually as we were worshiping him this morning. And he's wanting us to be quick to respond to him. And we can respond in a good way or a bad way. We can respond in a positive way, in a faith way, or in an unbelieving way. And Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God, this is Adam and Eve, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What had they done? God had given them instructions in the garden how to live, and they had everything they could ever possibly want. And there was just one tree that they were not allowed to take the fruit of it or even to touch it. And we know what happened, that they disobeyed God. And as a result of it, they sinned. Their response to God's word was they disobeyed God's word. And immediately they were convicted that they were naked, they were ashamed, they had fear, they got cut off immediately from God. And it says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The very thing that they needed was the presence of the Lord. And that's what they'd enjoyed during, it doesn't say how long, but during those days, during that time period, when the Lord had walked with them in the garden, this amazing place that was so beautiful and perfect, the one thing that they had was the presence of the Lord. In fact, they were covered with the presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord actually was their clothing. And when the Lord walked with Adam in the cool of the day, you imagine just walking in that way and God having chats with Adam and describing how he'd made everything. And they had such a beautiful relationship, a holy, wonderful relationship of love. And God's love was upon both Adam and Eve. And when they took the fruit of the tree they shouldn't have done, the knowledge of good and evil, they immediately were cut off from God. And they hid themselves. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Actually, in the Hebrew, it's literally, "Where are you?" Literally, "Where are you?" And not even "are." Right, that's our English. But basically, God was saying, "Where? You know, where are you?" And So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And we know the rest of the story, and we're a part of the result of what Adam and Eve's disobedience did. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God that God already knew he had a remedy for us by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross and rise again from the dead for our forgiveness of sins and to restore us into that relationship where we can walk with God and walk with him in his presence, with his presence in us. And so Adam responded in the wrong way and got cut off from God and hid himself. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4. God wants us to respond in the right way. He doesn't want us to hide away from his presence. That's usually when we hide away from God's presence, when we don't want to come into God's presence, is because of sin. It's because sinful things that we've done, or sinful things that we've said, sinful things that we've entertained, and we have to receive that forgiveness of sin. We need to ask the blood of Jesus to wash us and to cleanse us. And isn't it great to know for us as Christians, as believers today, that even if you, when we do sin, when we slip up and we sin, that we can be instantly forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus when we repent. Immediately, that we can be washed in the blood of Jesus and receive that forgiveness and carry on going on with God, with his presence in our hearts again in that way. What about Abel and Cain? Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4. And Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? I remember reading this as a young boy, and even through my teenage years, thinking this was very unfair of God. Why did he treat Cain like he was a bad guy? Why was Abel his favorite? Well, the reason was God knew their hearts. And the reason Cain was the bad guy, because it says that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. That's all it says. Cain did his duty. He knew, because he would have been taught by Adam and Eve the whole thing about sacrifice and offerings, and he was supposed to bring the very best and offer it up to God. And what it says here is Cain brought an offering. That's all it says. But when it came to Abel, it says Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. In other words, he brought the first of the best of what he had and gave it to God. This shows us, even in a couple of verses, that God saw two different hearts. And Cain's response was bad. He had a bad heart towards God. And though he went through the motions of giving something to God that wasn't his best, and it wasn't actually from his heart. But when it came to Abel, when Abel offered his sacrifice, it was his best. It was the firstborn from the first of his flock, and he gave him the best to God. That reflected his heart. Are you hearing what God is saying today? As we come to the end of this year, as we're about to enter a new year, what a great year it's going to be. God wants the best of our hearts. God wants us to give him the best, not go through anything as a matter of duty. God wants to deliver us from going through things as a matter of duty, whether it's reading the Bible, prayer, witnessing, coming on a Sunday morning to Oriel High School to meet with God together, meeting with one another, whatever it is, that things can so easily become duty. That's why we need a fresh encounter with his presence. That's why we need the Lord, and we need his presence, and we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us in our hearts, so that our hearts are actually washed clean, so that we can give him from our hearts the best that we have. And when we give the best, God is well pleased with such sacrifices. We know that. And God says to Cain, now God actually treats Cain really, really well, considering that his heart is really, really bad towards God. And God says this, he says in verse 8, he says in verse 7, if you do well, Cain, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door. And its desire is to have you. Its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. God is saying to us right now, he's saying to us, listen, as you come to the end of this year, deal with any sinful habits, whether they would be regarded in your eyes or people's eyes as small sins or big sins. Deal with the sin of the heart. Don't allow any sin to rule over you. And this is what God was saying to Adam, to Cain. He said, Cain, you're going to have to deal with this. You know, if you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, he was talking to Cain. Cain knew what he was talking about. Cain knew what God was getting at. And if you do not do well, sin is lying at the door. Sin is like a lion at the door, waiting to pounce upon the victim, which was Cain. And but he says to Cain, he says, but sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. Its desire is to have you, to cause you to sin and to be had. But you should rule over it. If you're struggling with anything this morning, let me tell you, Jesus has overcome every category of sin. Every type of sin that we have, thought, word, deed, whatever those sins are that are common to man, Jesus overcame every one of them sins. He himself never sinned. And so by his Spirit, he will enable us to overcome every sin and every difficulty. Amen. And he's saying to you this morning, if sin is lying at the door, and let's face it, at Christmas, sin can still be lying at the door at Christmas. Don't allow sin to rule over you, but you rule over it. You take authority in the name of Jesus over any sinful thought, word, or habit that would so easily come and take you. And God says, I'm not going to do it for you. You have to do it. That's because God has made us all responsible believers. And we have his Spirit living within us this morning. And it says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So Cain responded in the wrong way. Abel responded in the right way. And even his blood that fell to the ground spoke about his righteousness, how right Cain was before God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39. We're talking about grace to respond. God gives us, you know, grace to respond to him in the right way. Have you ever been stuck and not known what to do? Yes. Have you ever been afraid and fear gripped you? Yeah, all of us have. At some point, we've had that happen. Have you ever been caught in a sinful habit that you haven't been able to break, perhaps? And then you've seen that God come and set you free and deliver you. We've no doubt all had that as well. And maybe there's still some things that God wants to set you free from. But you know, his grace power is able to do that when you respond in the right way. And in Genesis 39 and verse 1 down to 12, we're not going to read it all now, but let's read at verse 4. It's talking about Joseph. Listen to this. Joseph found favor in the sight of Pharaoh, of Potiphar, and of Pharaoh, and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. So he was overseeing the house of Pharaoh. Joseph was Pharaoh's number one man, really. And Joseph had been in prison, and they made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has in my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Joseph was the sin was lying at the door of Joseph's life. Joseph, when you read about the things that he went through, you think this man was amazing in his devotion to God. He had incredible heart and favor with the Lord, despite what happened to him. God used everything for his good. And even in this situation where basically Pharaoh's wife is wanting to sleep with Joseph and wanting him to commit adultery, look at Joseph's response here. He denied her to do anything, but in verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, by his clothing, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. What does that tell you about Joseph? It tells you that in his heart, his response was already right. That sin wasn't ruling in his life, because when temptation came, he did what was already in his heart, which was to run, was to flee. This is good. God is wanting us to be quick to respond, sometimes to run from sin, sometimes to run from temptation, whatever those temptations are, to literally flee from it. And Joseph didn't have a last minute sort of, what shall I do? Joseph had already determined in his heart what he would do in this situation. And so his heart was devoted to God. His response was 100% for God. His response was good and right. And so immediately he ran and left his coat or whatever it was in the hand of the lady here. And Joseph kept himself free from sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6. We're talking about response this morning. I don't know about you, but probably my greatest longing is for more of the presence of God. That's my greatest longing, to have more of the presence of the Lord, to know him more. That's my greatest desire, that's my greatest hunger, that's my greatest thirst, that more than anything else, it's to know the Lord more and more and more. Is it yours? Because God will grant us the desires of our hearts. And, you know, Isaiah, the prophet, he also had a hunger for God. And it says it in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Literally filled the temple with glory. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. This is Isaiah the prophet. This is a man of God, who when the presence of God turned up in the temple, he realized just how unclean he was. So even in his cleanness, he recognized he was unclean. Even in his purity, he recognized he was impure. And I guess that's what happens. When we come into the presence of God, we realize just how small and how nothing we are without him. And that light of his presence always shines up things in our hearts, often that we hadn't even realized were there. And we have to come to him. And basically Isaiah says, please clean me, make me clean. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, the Lord has been speaking to us over this period of time that he wants us to hear his voice afresh. He wants us to see him anew. He wants to saturate us with his presence, my brothers and sisters, over this Christmas period. He wants he wants us to saturate ourselves with him and to take in the things of his presence that we need and of his word. And it says, verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he'd taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, what does it say? Here am I, send me. What a response. What an amazing response. And I tell you, when we spend time in the presence of God, when we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go unless you show me your glory. That kind of, that Lord, I'm going to come into your presence and stay there until I've received what I need to receive from you. When we come with that kind of gritty faith that says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And I will not let you go until I have a breakthrough in this part of my life. When we come to the Lord in that way, and thank God that we can come right into his presence because of what Jesus has done for us, then the Lord will reveal himself to us. And some of it will be good, and some of it will be bad. The bad bit will be the bits that he shows up in me or in you that need to be changed, but that's good. And as we repent and turn to the Lord and hand over those parts of our minds, our hearts, our lives over to him, the Lord will come and then he'll speak to us. But always, whenever you meet with God, God is always looking for a response. God is always looking for some response from you and from me. Every day that he's looking for a response. Did you know that? And your response will determine where you go and what you do for God. Your response of faith, of obedience, of whatever it is, doing what he's asked you to do, will determine where you're going this year. My response will determine that. And the Lord says, who can I send? Who will go for us, plural? God's talking about himself. Who will go for us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Are you willing, are you ready to say to God this morning, here am I, Lord, send me. I don't know quite what that means. I'm not sure where that's going to take me. But here am I, Lord. I'm in your hands. I'm in your temp. I'm before you. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. Whatever it may mean, I'm willing. I'm ready. I think we should carefully pray about that and then offer our hearts up to the Lord so that we do it from our hearts. But Lord, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. I tell you, when an offering in the Old Testament was offered from the heart like this, it says that the fire of God would come down and burn up the sacrifice. God's looking for, that's a picture of us today, that every time that we give ourselves to God as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, God says, my fire will come. That means I'll accept that sacrifice that you give to me, and my fire will come upon you. And my power, my spirit will come upon you, and I will enable you to do the thing I'm calling you to do. So whenever we offer ourselves to God like Isaiah did, something amazing will happen, but we have to respond in the right way. Amen. Let's look at Jeremiah, shall we? Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that wonderful? Before you were formed in the womb, God knew everything about you. Whoever you are, whatever your age is this morning, God knew all about you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's what it says there. I set you apart. And he's talking to Jeremiah. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Right, so bad response, wrong response. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. I've got a message for Leon and for Liam this morning. Don't just say I'm a young person, I'm a young lad, I'm a teenager, or if you're less than a teenager. How old are you, Liam? 11. Leon, how old are you? 12. Don't say, I'm just a 12-year-old or 11-year-old, I'm just a young boy, a young lad. For the Lord says to you, you will go to all to whom I send you. This is why it's so important. When we baptized Liam just a few weeks ago, when Liam was baptized, he was offering his life up, has offered his life up to the Lord because he believed and received him into his life. And the Lord says to you, Liam, don't say, I'm just a young lad, I'm just a young boy. But the Lord says, you will go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you will speak. And that's the same for you, Leon, as well. And that goes for all of you this morning. Young, getting older. We won't go to the really old this morning. There's no one really old here this morning. But all of us, we need to be giving ourselves to the Lord and to do what he asks us to do and to speak what he asks us to speak. I believe that God is going to use Liam and Leon mightily in the coming years. And they have such a great advantage because they're starting early to get to know Jesus, to get to know the Lord and give their lives to him. Don't be afraid. Whatever I command you, you will speak, Liam and Leon. Don't be afraid of people's faces. Don't be afraid of people, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. That's the one thing you need to know this morning, that God has put his words in your mouth. And once he's put his words in your mouth, in your heart and in your mouth, then you begin to speak those words. Amen. 2010 is going to be a great year for speaking the words that God puts into our mouths. Speaking the word of the Lord that he puts in our heart and begin to declare it in the workplace. In the workplace. In the workplace. Everywhere we go, declaring the word of the Lord, speaking forth the word of God, because that word will come with power, and God wants us to respond in the right way. Let's go back to the Christmas story just for a few minutes before we close. Let's reflect this morning on Zechariah. Who was Zechariah? He was the father of John the Baptist. Let's look at his response, shall we, in Luke chapter 1. I don't know when you last had an angel turn up in your room and give you a message, but this was not a normal thing. It didn't happen every few minutes or even every few days. But Zechariah, who was a priest at the time in the temple, and he was to be the father of John the Baptist. But listen to this, in verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This was in the temple. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him because of the angel. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. That's a prayer to have a child. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name, what was the name? John. This was to be John the Baptist. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. This is talking about John the Baptist. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel. I'm not your next door neighbor. I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, right? Was Zacharias' response a good one or a bad one? It was not good. And the angel says this, but behold, you will be mute, that means you'll be dumb, and you'll not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. That's because he couldn't speak. That's because he couldn't speak. Listen, God doesn't want us to be dumb. God wants us to believe the words that he speaks to us and respond in the right way. Zacharias responded in the wrong way and he was struck dumb. That wasn't a good idea. That wasn't God's perfect plan. God's plan was that he should have believed and helped the whole process. And so he was struck dumb and forced, if you like, because of his unbelief, to wait until it all happened right at the last thing, then for Elizabeth to say, well, what will his name be? And he had to write it on a slate, his name shall be called John, in obedience to what the angel had said. And then he was able to speak again. God is able and he wants us to respond in the right way. And Zacharias responded in the wrong way. Thank God for his grace and mercy, he was able to speak again. Look at the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. There was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem." Was that a good response? It was the right response. "And see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. A right response. God wants to release to us grace to respond in the right way to what he is saying to us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and just talk to us for a minute about Joseph's response. Matthew chapter 1. Joseph had realized that during his engagement to Mary that she was now expecting a baby. And verse 19 says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." In other words, divorce her quietly. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' God, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife." You imagine what Joseph must have gone through. Because he was a devout man of God. So was Mary, a devout woman of God. She was pregnant, but she knew about it through the visitation of an angel. And then the Holy Spirit came upon her. And then there's Joseph trying to figure out what's going on. And thinking, "I'll just have divorce her quietly. I don't want to make a big thing about this. That's the end of our relationship." And then this angel explains what's really taken place. Amazing things. That Mary was expecting God. And that what was in her wasn't from another man at all. And that it was God with us. And it says, "Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife." In other words, God explained to him and he did the right thing. His response was right. He responded in a faith way to what the angel said. And let's just look at Mary's response just for a couple of minutes. Mary's response. If we turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're just going to just pick out a few things here. God is wanting you to respond to him in the right way. Amen. This is the message this morning. And God will give you, through the Holy Spirit, grace to respond to him. I mean, just supposing he says to Jade, "I actually want you to do this, this, and this." And maybe it's something never even been in Jade's mind, but God suddenly reveals something fresh and new, which he does, by the way, quite often. And turns our life upside down because we thought we were going this way, but suddenly he says, "No, thank you for doing that, but I want you to do this now. And this is going to lead to this, this, and this." God is well able to show us, and there are milestones in our lives where God has to speak to us and turn the direction of our lives around so that we can get it on to the next thing that he has for us. Amen. That's how it works. But we have to have received God's grace to respond in the right way. We need his grace. And God is saying, I give you my grace to respond to me in the right way as I reveal my plan and my will for your life. And here we are, is Mary. And it says in verse 27-28, this I'm reading out of the truth. There he appeared to a virgin named Mary. This is Gabriel. The angel appeared to Mary, who was she was a virgin, and who she was to be married to a descendant of David called Joseph. Greetings, he said to her, you are favored by God, and he is with you. So this tells us that Mary had a has a beautiful heart before God, that her heart was and she was highly favored by God because of her devotion to the Lord. She was in her teens. These words disturbed Mary greatly, for she could not understand what they meant. But the angel assured her, there is no need to fear, Mary, for God is pleased with you. God is always pleased when there's faith. So Mary was a woman of faith. God is pleased with you. You are to become pregnant and will give birth to a son who you are to call Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. That's what his name means. Jesus the Savior, the Son of God, the Savior. He will be great and will become known as the Son of the Most High God, who will place him on the throne of his ancestor David. His reign over Israel will be eternal, and his kingdom will never end. So Mary is receiving this incredible message from the angel about what's going to take place. And her response is this: how could such a thing happen? Now that was not a bad response. She's not in unbelief here. She's just saying, I don't know how this can happen, but I believe it. That this is her actual response. I don't know how this is going to be. How could this happen? Mary asked the angel. I'm still a virgin. He replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you, so the child you bear will be holy and called the Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant despite her age and her former inability to bear children, for nothing is impossible for God. Now listen to what it says here in verse 38. Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you have said. Then the angel left her. Supposing Mary had said, I don't believe it. Nothing's going to happen to me. You've got the wrong person. I wonder what would have happened if Mary's response had been opposite to what her response was here. I don't know. We don't know, do we? We know that God chose her because he knew that her response would be a faith response. And her response was a pure response. I am the Lord's servant. I submit willingly to what you've said. And the angel left her. And do you know, because of her response, she became pregnant. If she hadn't responded that way, she would not have become pregnant. It's an amazing thing. Her faith response meant that God's word could come to pass in her life. And God is saying to us today, he's saying, there's things I want to birth in you. There's things I want to do in you at a personal level and in the church, that if you will respond in the right way to what I say, that thing will be birthed in your life, and my will shall be done. And God, I spoke about it last Sunday, about Mary, that she was a woman of faith, she was willing, and she was obedient. And God says, I want Kingdom Faith Church to be a faith church, a willing church, an obedient church. I want you to be a faithful man or woman of God. I want you to be a willing man or woman of God. I want you to be an obedient man or woman of God. I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you have said. And you know, as a result of that, she bore Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King. What an awesome thing for God to choose a human being to carry out this amazing thing of bringing the Lord into this world, to become one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just read from verse 45, and we're going to close. This is the response. This is a response here. As soon as I heard your greeting, the child within me leapt with joy. This is Elizabeth talking about when Mary turned up at the door. You're blessed, she says to Mary. You're blessed because you believe that what the Lord said to you shall surely come to pass. Mary said, I glorify the Lord with all my soul, and my spirit rejoices in God, for he is my Savior. He knows that I am only his humble servant. Yet every future generation will consider me blessed, for the Mighty One has done such great things for me, and his name is holy. He extends his mercy to those who fear him in every generation, for he has done mighty deeds through his power, and yet has scattered those whose hearts are proud. He has dethroned rulers and has exalted the humble. He has supplied plentifully for the hungry, but the wealthy he has sent away with nothing. He has helped his people Israel, for he has continued to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants, just as he promised to our forefathers. What a response. What an incredible response. That we receive Jesus the Saviour because a woman, a virgin called Mary, responded in the right way 2,000 or so years ago. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked at the things that God did through certain people that we knew nothing about. Some of them were intercessors. Some of them were said, "Here I am, Lord, use me, send me." And God said, "I'm sending you to pray for nations. I'm sending you to pray for souls. I'm sending you to pray for churches." And through their prayers, perhaps we're here today, this morning, through the prayers of the saints, through the prayers of intercessors, and they will receive their reward, their talents. What has God given to you? What has God given to me on this chilly Sunday morning? What has God entrusted to you? Don't let it just be a talent buried in the ground, but this is a time to use all of our talents and to invest our talents, the things that God has given to us, and to see those talents, those giftings, grow and multiply this year. Amen? To see the new things that God has spoken about come to pass, both within the church and out by the church, out into a lost world. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's respond to the Lord. And Pat, can you...